We've been reading in the Minor Prophets in our readings through the Old Testament. And as we come this morning to the second chapter of Micah, we're reminded that Micah's message in his day was not much different than the message of the other prophets. In fact, all of them denounced the sins of the nation, whether of Judah or of Israel, or in Micah's case, both. In particular, he speaks out against the injustices and the oppression on the part of the rich and the powerful. They have been appropriating, he says, fields and houses. They've been gobbling up real estate, the real estate that belonged to the weak. Now, in our day, land is really not so important in many ways. It is nice to have a place to live, of course, but we're not dependent upon the garden or the farm in our backyard to sustain us. But in that day, most everyone took care of their own groceries. They grew them. They raised them that they might provide for their families. And to lose your land was to lose the ability to provide for yourself. The greed and covetousness of the rich and the powerful seems to be insatiable, not just in their time, but in ours too. And these great men and these false prophets quickly protest Micah's preaching. They don't want to hear it. They protest and try to silence him. And their appeal is, surprisingly, to the goodness of God. Our blessings that we enjoy are simply God pouring out his goodness on us. And Micah agrees that God had promised blessing, but he shows them that they'd been abusing the goodness and the mercy of God through disobedience and unrighteousness. We must never think that because we have been saved by grace that we can go and live as we please. The false prophets, he said, had uttered nothing but wind and lies. What a description of preaching. We pray that that would not be the kind of preaching that we desire or listen to. False preaching can only prosper when people want to hear it. The popularity of false preachers in any day springs from the evil that's still in our hearts. We love to hear lies. Let's be honest. We want people to tell us that we're doing well, that things are okay, that if we just do this and that, then God will bless us abundantly. Well, Micah calls on these false prophets and these rich and powerful people to leave the land. The promised land, a place of rest, would not be a place of rest for them because of their sin. They were destroying others, and ultimately God would destroy them. Finally, there is a moment of promise here in this second chapter. They will not all be destroyed in judgment. God's wrath against the wicked is always balanced in Scripture by his concern for the oppressed. There's consolation and there's condemnation, and they go hand in hand here. Those who faithfully trust God, they will be delivered. He says, led by he who opens the breach. It's a description of making a way of escape from the judgment that is coming. And it's a description that's largely been interpreted as meaning the coming Messiah, the one who will open the breach, will break through the bondage of sin and death and bring his people out into life and liberty. In fact, the verbs used here describe a progress that is unstoppable. God's people look forward to that day, the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ over the power of death and the grave and our eternity in his presence. Hear now the word of the Lord, Micah chapter 2. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil in their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it, because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them away. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily, or it will be a time of disaster. In that day they shall take up a taunt song against you and moan bitterly and say, we are utterly ruined. He changes the portion of my people. How he removes it from me. To an apostate he allots our fields. Therefore you will have none to cast the line by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not preach, thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overcome us. Should this be said, O house of Jacob? Has the Lord grown impatient? Are these his deeds? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? But lately my people have risen up as an enemy. You strip the rich robe from those who pass by trustingly with no thought of war. The women of my people you drive out from their delightful houses. From their young children you take away my splendor forever. Arise and go, for this is no place of rest because of uncleanness that destroys with a grievous destruction. If a man should go about and utter wind and lies, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, he would be a preacher for this people. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture, a noisy multitude of men. He who opens the breach goes up before them. They break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Their king passes on before them, the Lord at their head. As we put our trust and our faith in God and in him alone, as we seek to be, by the power of his Spirit, obedient to his word, we have the assurance of his presence and his blessing, his deliverance, and our ultimate enjoyment of him forever. Thus far, the reading in God's word.